Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 to 31. I've not forgotten the prayer in verse 22, remember me for this also, O my God. We get two more prayers like that later in the chapter, and I'm going to link those together in one discourse after this next one now. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 to 31, Things Slipping Back, part 4. As we have seen, Nehemiah has been away from Jerusalem, back in Persia. And when he comes back, to his amazement, to his sorrow, to his grief, to his disgust, he's appalled by the fact that the Jews have slipped back. Pagans brought into the court of the temple, the neglect of priests, Levites, and so on, the Sabbath gone to pieces, all this. And he's taken steps to deal with it. And there is one other issue that he has been forced to deal with. It's something that's come up before. It's met in the prophets, Malachi 2, verse 11, and so on. Ezra 9 and 10 dealt with it. And what is that? Moreover, verse 23, in those days I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And of course, they marry these pagans, and what happens? They have children by these pagans, and what happens? They learn the mother language, don't they? Their mother's language, that's the one they learn. And so half the children speak the language of Judah, and half speak the language of one of these other peoples, paganism. It's a right mess, isn't it? A right mingling of Jew and pagan within Jerusalem. How quickly it's all slipped back. Again, we get this point over and over again, the point about the Sabbath in the previous discourse, the point about Sanballat and Tobiah and all these other people. What is it? It's separation. Israel must be separate from the pagans. You must, perhaps, I don't know if you're growing tired of me saying this, but I'm only saying it because the Bible is saying it. Moreover, in those days I saw men of Judah who had married the pagans, and they didn't know the various languages that were going on. I rebuked them. I wasn't going to have it. I called down curses on them. Why? Because it's breaking the covenant. It's mingling Judaism and paganism. It's a destruction of Judaism. They're breaking the principle of distinction. Now, of course, we're in the Old Covenant here, but the same comes over to the New, 2 Corinthians 6, into chapter 7. Read it and see. No fellowship between Christ and Belial. Of course, that's usually said that means a believer shouldn't marry an unbeliever. Well, yeah. But the context there, primarily, first and foremost, is about the church. The church must be separate from the world. We're the ecclesia, the called out one. But these people are all mingled together. And so they've got a mingled, mangled, mongrel language now. They don't know what's going on here. Deuteronomy 7, verse 3, and it goes on and on again. We must be distinct, Israel. And so it goes for the church too. And Nehemiah's going to put a stop with it. Stop to it. Verse 25, you're not to do this. I pulled out some of the men, I pulled out their hair. Not just my hair, I pulled out theirs. I said, no, this has got to stop. Stop marrying your children off in amongst the pagans. And he brings down imprecation upon them, curses upon them. He reminds them of their history. Look, he said, think about Solomon. What brought him down? Look at the glorious start he had. And what brought him down? Mixed marriages. Are we never going to learn? Have we never read the book of Judges? Don't we know the history of the kings? Don't we know Revelation 2 and 3? Don't we know these things? Haven't we read church history? Haven't we understood? Why are we going back to the same mistakes? He reminds them of their history. This is what Nehemiah's doing. And we need Nehemiah today too, who will remind us of Scripture and remind us of our history and remind us of the disasters that have come when this has gone on before. Verse 27 is just absolutely incomprehensible. I just can't understand why. You must be now here that you're doing this, all of you. This terrible, you too are doing this terrible wickedness and being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women. Are we really going to have this again? And it's the top brass too. One of the sons of Joida, son of Eliashib the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite, mixed up with pagans, Samaritans, the lot. It's just incomprehensible. And praise God for men of Nehemiah's stamp. He won't let rank stop him. He won't let bigwig stop him. He won't let anything stop him. He can be lonely. Just coming back from Persia. And all these other people have been tolerating this. And he raises his voice and he steps into the breach and he acts. Praise God that men like that are around. I can understand why he says, remember me for this, O God. Oh, Lord, may my work not die out. We must distinguish the covenants, I know, my friend. Now, and I appeal to that. But we must take the principles and enforce the principle in the new covenant. And we need men of Nehemiah's stamp. I want to be one. And I don't want to mingle with the world. I know I'm in the world, but I don't want to be of it. I don't want to be taken up with it, and its principles, its ideas, and its concepts. I want to live a life that is to the glory of God. Whatever I do in word, thought, and deed, do all to the glory of God. Look at the consequences. Look at the long shadows, the dark shadows, the deep shadows that are cast here. These men marry pagan wives. Oh, well, then the children come. Then their children. Where is it going to go? Look 50 years ahead, my friend of the church. Now, with the things we're doing today, in 50 years, we shall reap the harvest. I won't be here. But the church of that day will reap it. It's inevitable. We reap what we sow. Praise God that Nehemiah saw that, and he made a stand. May God raise up such men in our time. However unpopular, unliked, and lonely they are, may God bless them and use them for his glory. Oh, brother and sister, are you willing to be a Nehemiah? God give us grace to say yes. Amen.